Road to Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for July 27th, 2018, and we have got a great show for you today. I've got three young people in front of me, and as most of you know, if I can hang out with these young people, I am in my lane. That's where I like to be. And today is a perfect day for that. Our featured guest today will be Amber Cripps. Of course, Amber's been on the show before representing the FFA chapter at Rogue River Junior Senior High School. But Amber's going to come on today, and we're going to talk a little bit about FFA, but she's going to tell us about her next chapter in her life. She's heading off to college, and we're going to get into that today. And I do have a quick apology to make. We tried to have an NBA segment last week, and of course, the Rogue Talk mascot, Cameron, was on the show, as well as my intern for the summer, Hunter Arnsdorf, and I left them about 2 minutes last week. So we're going to save a little extra time today and finish our little NBA segment. And so I'm looking forward to that. Hunter, I know, is pretty excited about getting on the air for that. So we're going to get to that also. But before we get to any of that, let's talk about a few things going on. And before we even do that, let me give out the phone number. If you would like to call the show, maybe you want to talk to Amber. I know she's pretty popular. She's pretty well known. If you spend any time on the Weimer page, she pops up on there now and again. So we know she's pretty popular around here. She's one of my favorite guests, which is why I keep having her back. But anyhow, if you'd like to call into today's show, you can do that at 541-299-0498. Once again, that's 541-299-0498. We can answer those calls right here on the air. And if you would like to email the show, I can't guarantee that I'll get them during the show. I try to, but there's one thing you have to do. When you send the email, in the subject line, you have to put Rogue Talk. Two words, Rogue Talk. And those will come right to me, and I can maybe answer them during the show. And you send those to feedback@943thebridge.com. So that's how you can get a hold of us here. And we're looking forward to our conversation with Amber. But before we get to that, of course, last week we talked about the fires, and they're still at the top of the news. It's been a little bit better for the folks out in Weimer this week. The fires out there, of course, the Garner complex is burning not only out north of Weimer, but also in the Grants Pass area. The Taylor Creek fire has been the most active one this week. In fact, last night it grew some more. So that's kind of where the focus has been lately, trying to protect structures and get things under control. So the Taylor Creek portion of that complex has been the most active. Fortunately, the Grave Creek and the Pleasant Creek, their lines have been holding along those fires, which is good news. So we're happy about that. They've been doing some burnout activity, trying to, you know, when they do these burnouts, they're getting rid of fuel and helping to widen the lines so that the fire won't jump the lines. And so they've been able to do some of that. Of course, my daughter is out there in one of the evacuation zones, so I've been paying pretty close attention to this. She lives out on Pleasant Creek. It's gone from a level 1 to a level 2, back down to a level 1. I think it's currently a level 2, but I'm not even sure about that. But it's a little nerve-wracking, so we're keeping an eye on that. Another fire of note that's really blown up just over the last few days is the Carr fire, which is in Redding, or near, well, it's actually, it is in Redding. I was going to say near Redding, but it really has come into the town of Redding. Unfortunately, with that fire, it's blown up like crazy. It was burning at over 1,000 acres an hour at one point, and I don't know where it's at right now, but I was watching the flight tracker a little earlier. I saw at least four tankers flying flights over that fire. They are really going after that. The Garner Complex was the number one fire in the nation as far as priority. I have a feeling the Carr Fire may take over that that priority. They're needing all the air support they can get over there right now. It's threatening the town of Redding. There's been structures have been burned. And unfortunately, there's been a couple of deaths. A firefighter was killed, as well as a dozer operator that was helping clear lines. So, you know, really sad news from the Carr Fire. You know, we hate to hear that kind of stuff. And it's been scary. It's been, that one's been kind of close to home too. You know, my daughter's involved with the Garner Complex. I have friends that live in the Redding area. I have another friend whose parents live in the Redding area. And so they've been, at wit's end. A friend I went to high school with, he sent his family down to the Bay Area. He stayed behind to try and protect his house. He made it through the night. But it's a scary thing, and you want to, you know, we want to support these folks that are going through this. And we'd like to give a huge shout out from Rogue Talk here, a big shout out to all of the firefighters and the other folks that are involved in fighting the fires, all the coordination that goes along with all of that. We want to recognize everybody. We salute you. And this town has been great. I mean, the signs are everywhere, people thanking the firefighters. And it's a great community to live in because we really rally around one another when these kinds of things happen. And so it's a great time to live in this little town of Rogue River because everybody's kind of rallying around one another, and they're very supportive of the firefighters. And we hope that they start to turn the corner on these fires. I know the last I checked, the Garner Complex is 25% contained. They hope to have it contained in first week of August, somewhere toward the end of the first week of August is their goal. Hopefully they're going to make that. So that's kind of the big news around the area. Another thing I wanted to touch on, and we'll talk about this more when we bring on Amber, is and I may have mentioned this a little bit last week, but the FFA was at the fair, at the Jackson County Fair, and they had some pretty great results. And so I wanted to get into that. And I'm trying to bring up my file on this so I can give you some more details. And again, we'll talk to Amber. She didn't actually participate in the fair this year, but she's the former FFA chapter president. So I think she knows a little bit more about these FFA issues than I do. So you know what? I'm having trouble bringing up my file. We'll save that. We'll talk to Amber about that. And so I'm going to have a pretty short first segment here because I really want to get to my interview and I want to get to that NBA segment. So we're going to cut this first segment a little short. We'll take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Amber Cripps. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Broadcasting to Rogue River, Gold Hill, Weimer, and beyond. 94.3 The Bridge.
All right, you got to be ready for everything when you come on this show. I wasn't ready for that break to be so short. We're having trouble today with our news clips are not coming in properly, but I thought there might be a couple commercials there, but no such luck. So we are back, and you can tell I'm stalling here because wasn't quite ready for that break to be over, but let's get to it. So I want to welcome back to the show my friend and one of my favorite guests on Rogue Talk, Amber Cripps. Amber, welcome to Rogue Talk.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you here again. And so previously we've had you on. We talked about things going on with the FFA, and mm-hmm. now you've graduated and you're getting ready for college. So we want to talk about kind of some of the process that you're going through to get ready for college and some of those things. So, but before we do that, I found my file here I was trying to get to during the news segment. And let's talk a little bit about the FFA at the fair this year. And so we sent, and you're going to help me with this because you're the expert. So we sent 8 students to the Jackson County Fair this year. And those students were Andy Herrinks, Steffi Herrinks, Danny Herrinks. I think they're related. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. Annabelle Lee, Zoe Reeder, Samantha Williams, Jillian Steinbrook Corey, and Emily Sauter. And now most of these kids were showing hogs. Is that right?
Yeah, a majority of them were showing hogs. Danny actually also showed a turkey while he was at the Jackson County Fair. You can't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure that all 8 of those students showed hogs, if I'm remembering
correctly. I think that's what I've got here. They all showed hogs, and then Andy had his turkey, and Andy actually got some pretty good awards coming out of that, and you can help me if I'm getting these right. His turkey was awarded Champion FFA Market Turkey, Reserve Grand Champion for the 4-H and FFA Market Turkey, and he was the 2018 Champion FFA Poultry Showman. So tell me what does it take to get those 3 awards?
So within those 3 awards, within market, that's basically judging like the quality of the animal that you've produced. And then showmanship is really on how well you work with the animal, how knowledgeable you are about the animal and everything. And Danny, he's a freshman this year, so that's really an accomplishment to be able to.
Oh, so I think I said Andy, but it was actually Danny.
It was Danny, the youngest of the 3. This is his first year actually doing FFA. I know he's been involved in 4-H in the past, but so he was within FFA, he had the best turkey, and then within the whole fair, he had the second best turkey. And within all of the FFA showmen, he worked the best with his animal, knew the most about the animal and everything. And it's actually kind of humorous how they go about showing the turkeys. They kind of were just like walking right behind him with their arms hovering over him, kind of. But it's actually really surprising because I've raised chickens and stuff before, and once they're out of the pen, like, they're halfway across the field and everything. So they have the turkeys, and they're pretty well behaved. It takes a lot of work, especially with, like, an animal that seems smart but really has, like, a mind of their own. So he did really great with that. I know that only the top 2 turkey in the whole fair sells, so I know that he was able to do really well with that. That's really something.
Yeah, that's great.
And proud of.
And I you're right. I was a little confused. I was saying Andy. Of course, I know Andy. Andy graduated with you. Is that right?
He's actually going to be a senior.
Or he's got 1 year left. So he's in Cameron's class. So, but Danny was a freshman this year. So he's going into his sophomore year. So wow, that's impressive. So we want to give you a shout out, Danny. We want to give all of you kids a shout out. I mean, what a great job getting to the fair, those animals raised. I've seen quite a few Instagram posts of Annabelle with her pigs. So, great fun. And then there was one more thing. We had the agricultural mechanics exhibit. And our chapter, let's see, they were selected the 2018 Champion FFA Agricultural Mechanics Exhibit. Now, tell me what that is.
So, at the fair, there's different contests for, like, 4-H and FFA members. A lot of people may think that they're just there with the animals and stuff, but depending on the fair you're at, there's anything from floriculture competitions, sewing contests, ag mechanics contests, all.
Now, apparently for this ag mechanics award, they welded. It was some sort of a welding project, and I'm not mobile scale. They welded a mobile livestock scale.
That's something that's going to be really beneficial for all of the students who are raising animals for the fair. I was actually able to weigh my lamb on that scale, and it's really high tech, actually. It's on a trailer and everything, has a digital scale. You walk your animal on it, and then you walk it back off. There's railings and everything on there. I think that one of the things that really helped our students be able to get that done this year was the fact that we added a second ag teacher, and they were able to really focus on our ag mechanics program. And they've been doing really great throughout the year, especially at fair with that Champion Project.
Well, that's great. So it was a perfect time to have you here because you can talk me through these things. I was never in 4-H or FFA, and I've obviously gotten to know it a lot better these last couple of years since you and some of your friends in the FFA chapter have come in on the show, of course. But I'm still very novice to this stuff, so I'm trying to learn more and more. And you've left me in some good hands, so I'll definitely be able to keep learning more as the time goes on. And I think I mentioned this on a previous show, but since I have you here, I really want to thank you and Zoe and Annabelle, among others, for the award that I got. When I went to the awards banquet, I've gone to the awards banquet for the FFA the last 2 years, and they gave me an award for basically for allowing them onto Rogue Talk. And I thought, you know, your beef feed is more well known in the community than Rogue Talk, but but you know what, I was very touched and I was honored. So I want to, since I have you here, I want to thank you for thinking of me and allowing me to be a part of your guys's program, because it's so much fun. And so I wanted to thank you for that since I got you here. So let's get into kind of what you're going to be doing here. So you graduated.
I did, thankfully.
And of course, as part of that, you're going to go off to college because you're a good student. You're a smart girl. You had to make a lot of choices. So let's get into some of that. Since we were talking about the FFA, how has your involvement in the FFA influenced your decision not only to go to college, but to choose a college?
So my involvement within the FFA, I can definitely credit that as to probably like my biggest influence in deciding to like pursue further education or like to the college that I've chosen. My freshman year, I walked into my classroom and I like was so adamant that I didn't want to be involved, and I was just there to get straight A's on everything and not focus on anything else. And I was actually pretty shy. Like, I couldn't even get up in front of the classroom to give a presentation without my face just turning beet red and like my legs shaking. But after my advisor just kind of threw me into a few contests, I realized that it was something that I really enjoyed. And all of the conventions that I've been able to travel to and all of the career shows and college fairs and everything that I've been able to participate in, it's really like opened my eyes to all of the opportunities that are really out there. A lot of the contests that I've been involved in have just kind of helped me figure out what I really enjoy and things that I don't enjoy as much. It's really any form of leadership that students can get themselves involved in. I think that helps a lot in just kind of building up your confidence in making decisions for yourself and being able to like be confident in those decisions that you make. So I really credit most of that confidence and everything to my involvement in FFA and all of the mentors that I've had along the way with my involvement the last 4 years.
Yeah, and I know just from my personal experience, you know, we've got a couple of really great instructors at mm-hmm. the high school, and I'm sure they've had a big part in kind of helping guide you through the process.
So, they have.
So picking a college, I kind of know the answer to this because I've kind of followed you on social media and seen you kind of going through this process. But how hard was it for you to actually pick a college, and what factors did you use to finally decide on Purdue?
So initially, at the beginning of this year, I was really set on staying in the Rogue Valley, going to RCC, picking something that I would just be kind of okay with and just stay at home and just really stay within my comfort zone. And then somewhere along the way, Mr. Herringshaw actually pulled me aside and was just trying to ask me what my plans were for the next year. And that used to be my least favorite question, because I really didn't want to make many plans for the next year, because that's all some really scary stuff for like a 17-year-old to be looking ahead into the entire future. So after some like self-reflection and stuff, I decided that I wanted to move out of Oregon, get out of my comfort zone. Even though I love it here so much, I just wanted to just go ahead and find something else. Maybe I'd love it there too. So I actually applied to about 9 schools, and all of them were out of state. And initially, Purdue was, in my mind, like my top choice. I had visited it as a sophomore when we were at National Convention. But I didn't tell anyone that I applied because it's more on the side of like a prestigious school. They have a lower acceptance rate, and I actually didn't stick to getting straight A's like I thought I would. So I was kind of doubting my ability to get in, so I didn't tell anyone that I had even applied there. And then somewhere along the way, I was searching through my junk mailbox, and I found my acceptance letter to Purdue, and I was actually at Ray's Food Place, and I was just like, I was freaking out. I told my parents, I'm like, I got into this school. So, and right after that, I kind of stopped paying attention to all the other acceptance letters that had come in. I got accepted to all the schools I applied to, thankfully, but that
was... Well, I mean, if you got in at Purdue,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think they have a much of an ag program at Harvard, so...
No, you're right. You're right. So after that, it was just like a lot of excitement based around like... I kind of proved myself wrong, which was really nice. So that really played into why I picked that school. And as the year went along, it was like I had already confirmed my enrollment and everything all the way in January. But then there's still a good chunk of the school year left. So it's just kind of you accept it and then it totally brushed from my mind. And now that it's become summer, like that choice is really like more... in my face, I guess is the right word to use. So I don't know, I kind of brushed it off for a while, but I don't know, I'm pretty happy with my decision so far. So my backup school has been Oregon State University, so that's always been in the back of my mind just in case anything had fallen through, because it's really hard to be able to communicate with a school that's all the way in Indiana and everything rather than just like a few hours up I-5, you know? But.
Well, I think Hunter had a question he wanted to ask you.
Do you know what you're going to major in?
I do. So I'm going to major in agriculture communications, which that kind of relates to like news releases or media or anything from lobbying with politics or anything, all relating to like agricultural advocacy, depending on like the field of agriculture that I focused on.
So with that kind of a field, would it, maybe I'm missing this, but would it be possible that you could end up working somewhere, let's say somewhere like John Deere?
Yeah, I could. The thing about this major in this field is I could really work for any large agricultural corporation. I mean, one of the misconceptions about the agriculture industry is that everyone that works in it, they're either farmers or mechanics or teachers or anything like that. There's really a lot that plays into it. Any large corporations, they need people who are out there just kind of spreading information about them, just kind of advertising what they do, why they're not a bad corporation versus other corporations and everything. So
you could go to work for Monsanto. You
exactly.
would have your work cut out for
See,
you.
Yeah, that something like that. They really need someone who's good with agriculture communications. That's really what I would want to be, is just kind of the communication point between the general public and the agricultural industry, almost like this bridge, because I'm pretty involved within agriculture, but I still don't know as much as I could. And if there's someone who's knowledgeable enough, I'm sure they'd be able to communicate points.
Sure.
Well,
and I mean, these agricultural companies, whether they're tractor companies or seed companies or whatever, they've got the same challenges that any big corporation
does.
Exactly. They need public relations. They need IT. Mm-hmm. You know, they have websites and they have social media. And so, yeah, I mean, people forget sometimes that just because it's a certain niche, it's they still have all the same needs that any big
exactly.
corporation needs. So, well, I think that's a smart, you know, smart decision for you.
It
sounds like a really good major and something that I think you'll be pretty good at.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I love bringing you on this show because I just like having you here, but I don't like to bring you on the show because sometimes you're more professional on the microphone than I am. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Well, thanks.
But so going to college, or at least the process of getting yourself to college, it's got to be a little daunting. What kinds of things have been the biggest challenge for you trying to get from, okay, I graduated high school, and now I've got to get myself to Indiana and start out school at Purdue University?
It is so... I have a pretty tight-knit, close family. I would probably consider my mom like one of my best friends that I've had. We're really close, so that was one of the big reasons why I ever wanted to even stay in the Rogue Valley, is because all of my family and all of my friends are here, so it was just not really an option to up and move across the country, because that would be kind of crazy. So that's one of the biggest things, is I know I'm going to be homesick for a little bit, and I know that my parents and my family are going to miss me. But just like on other terms, after graduation, everything just kind of sunk in. I'm like, oh, this is really happening. I mean, right now I have 14 days left until I move, which isn't that long. Another piece of everything that was kind of daunting is really finances. It costs a lot for plane tickets or hotels or rental cars to be able to get to the college, or student loans and all of those things. They weren't something that I could necessarily plan out before graduation. So after graduation, it's been wanting to visit friends, visit family, get things in line for when we go, buying plane tickets, reserving cars and all of this thing, and then finding a way to be able to pay for it all while I'm still trying to enjoy my last summer at home. So that's been one of the biggest challenges.
So you mentioned paying for college, and of course that's one of the big challenges for everybody. Kind of tell us what your experience has been. You of course, everybody has to sign up for the FAFSA program.
Oh, yes.
And it sounds like I'm lisping because it's an acronym and it's not a very good one. When you put an F and an S next to one another, it makes it tough. But I know everybody struggles with that. What's your experience been with getting through into the system and then checking off all the boxes? You know, you have to get your parents to get their tax returns done, and you have all of those things. How has that process gone for you?
So during the school year, our College and Career Center, they've been really great. Miss Smith and Miss Acosta, they were always willing to help with any questions that we had or anything. So I was one of the first students to get my FAFSA done. I had it all set, and I got a free coffee mug for getting it done in time from your daughter and everything. So I thought I was done at that point. And then right around graduation, Purdue contacted me and they let me know that they needed verification tax returns transcripts. And I wasn't really sure. I didn't know that they wanted actual transcripts I had to get from the IRS office. So I kept trying to send my W-2 and my parents' W-2, and I kept going to Staples, scanning that in, trying to send it in. I probably tried to send it in like a good four times, and they kept denying it, and I couldn't wrap my head around why they were denying it. So I finally called the financial aid office about 3 weeks ago, and I went to Medford, went into the IRS office. We were the first ones in the building, and surprisingly enough, at a government office, we didn't have to wait in any lines or anything. We got our transcripts right away and sent those in. So along with that, the FAFSA is really great to send to the school, and they'll tell you like what they can offer you and everything. But then from there, you have to sign promissories and go find different loans or grants that they wanted to apply to. So you really have to be paying attention to your emails and everything that they're sending, because I'm sure if I missed a few deadlines along the way, my situation could be a lot more stressful than it is right now. But, it's really a great thing, but I thought that I was going to be done with it after I got that free coffee mug. I guess I was wrong.
Well, we'll have to talk to Miss Smith and let her know that, you know, when you give out that free coffee mug, let them know there still could be more. You know,
you
didn't cross the entire bridge yet. You're only part of the way. We give the coffee mug for getting halfway across the bridge.
Exactly.
Well, that's cool. Now, of course, when it comes to funding college, there's also scholarships. How did you do in that department? I have to think you got a few scholarships.
I did get a few scholarships, but it wasn't really some. I know, like in movies and stuff, when students are going off to college and everything, they're like really involved in sports or like really involved in like all of these academics and stuff, and it's this really stressful process applying for scholarships and wanting to know if, like, you got all these scholarships that you wanted and everything. Rogue River has a really great group of students. I mean, especially in the class that I just graduated with. At our scholarship night, it was really great. Some of my friends that I've been going to school with since I was in kindergarten, most of the scholarships were only available to students who were going to Oregon schools. So I got a scholarship from the Rogue River Garden Club for $1,000 and from the Rogue River FFA chapter for $1,000. And those two scholarships are, like, really helping me with all of my books, part of my tuition, my supplies, and my housing. I mean, I'm really thankful for that because Rogue River is a small community and everything. And I don't know the exact number, but it was, like, a really big amount of grants and scholarships that were all given away to the senior class this year. And it's a bit of a different experience than what I thought it would be initially, because you just apply for the scholarships and everything. You have interviews and pardon me, and whatnot. And then it's not completely soul crushing if you don't get one that you applied for, in my experience at least, because I really love all of the people who I've gone to school with and everything. So you're really thankful whenever they're getting some help, even if you applied for the same scholarship as them and everything. So that's been some of my experience with scholarships. We have a really supportive community is something I learned.
We definitely do. Well, and you've learned that with the FFA.
Of course.
Mean, the BFEED being your major fundraiser, and it's very popular here. So that's, we do have a supportive community. Well, and I was mentioning about with the fires and how our community rallies around one another. So it is a great community to live in. And I think, Hunter, you had another question to ask Amber.
What are you most excited for about college?
Ooh, so I've always really enjoyed learning and everything. So I'm pretty excited to just take my education up to the next level. I've already gotten my class schedule, and it's a lot different than high school classes and stuff. I mean, I have three-hour gaps in the middle of the day, and then I have another class at, like, 4:30 in the evening that doesn't get out till 6. But I think I'm most excited about learning more and then just being, like, kind of on my own. I know I'm not on my own because I have a really great support system behind me, but it'll be nice to just kind of be in my own domain and, like, doing my own things and really learning for myself. So that's
making your own decisions.
Exactly.
And but now on the flip side of that, I can imagine having to make all those decisions on your own can be a little terrifying. What are you most scared about going off to college?
Something I'm most scared about, I'm kind of nervous that I'm going to be too homesick. I know that I'm not going to be homesick to the point where I want to come back, but I know that I'm going to be homesick, and I think that also translates into my academic abilities over there, because I know that they're a highly esteemed school, so I know that their academics are probably a bit more advanced than what I've experienced before, even with additional, like, college courses here and there. I'm pretty confident in my own abilities, but I'm just a bit nervous that, like, all of, like, my emotions being away from home and everything might play too much into my educational experience, which that's something I'm kind of trying to gear up for and make sure that doesn't happen, because that would be a lot of money to go away with some bad grades, you know?
Yeah, I think you'll probably do okay. So what's the living situation going to be? Are you in a dorm? And
I am in a
dorm. Are you going to have a few roommates? How's that going to work out?
So the interesting thing about Purdue is their tuition is frozen for the next 4 years, so they can't raise the rates or lower the rates or anything like that. So with that, they actually accept more students every year.
Sorry, we're cooking in the studio today, so you'll have to excuse us if we have to take a quick break on the mic. We're dying in here.
So they're actually in the middle of a housing crisis right now. So I wasn't given my room assignment the same time as everybody else. I was kind of nervous that they were going to put me in a hotel or a renovated study room that's been moved into bedroom type area, but thankfully I was assigned a roommate, and I think she's actually the resident advisor, so that'll be nice. I think she's a junior. I haven't gotten in contact with her yet, but I'll be on campus, which is great because I won't have my car with me, so everything will be within walking distance. Dorm rooms are going to be a lot smaller than what I was anticipating, I'm sure. And I think that a lot of them are almost like summer camp bathrooms with like the line of sinks and everything. So that'll be an interesting adjustment. But I think that's kind of part of the college experience that I'm looking forward to, is just being out of my comfort zone for a little bit. And then I think I'll make friends faster living on campus as well.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good roommate choice, getting the RA.
Yeah.
She can definitely probably help you, you know, guide you along.
Exactly.
I know Miss Smith was an RA at Western Oregon.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a cool thing. I don't remember. I think she may have had her own room when she was an RA.
Yeah, I think that's how it's supposed to be.
So
but they're just so short on rooms.
Short, yeah. So it works out great for you.
I mean, maybe not for her. But.
Yeah, not for. Well, I think she's pretty lucky. But she may have wanted her own room, but it definitely works out good for you. You couldn't ask for a better roommate,
exactly.
For sure. Although. You know,
if I have problems, I don't know who to go to talk to.
I mean, she might be a snitch. You gotta.
No one's going to want to be my friend while I'm over there.
Yeah. So are you excited about making new friends in college?
I'm really excited about making new friends. I've actually been able to go on a few like different social media platforms for Purdue students and everything. And there's a few students who went to Eagle Point High School who are already over there. So I've been in contact with some people who are already attending the school, and that's really helped me just kind of calm my nerves about like what to expect when I get there, where things are even, because when we visited, it was a really impromptu tour. We didn't have a tour guide. We just were kind of wandering around the campus aimlessly. So still even now, I don't know where.
So you fit right in with half the students.
Exactly. I don't know where a lot of the things are, but I'm already starting to make friends. But then I'll probably be able to make more connections and everything, because a lot of the students that are over there are going to be in the same boat as I am, like moving from somewhere far away. I know there's a lot of international students who are moving there from other countries and everything, so I think everyone's going to be a little out of their comfort zone, and that'll make for better connections and everything.
Sure. And you still got your friends here that you can,
exactly.
and they're going to be going through similar experiences. Of course, I think Annabelle was off looking for jobs and things like that.
Apartments and everything
today.
Yeah,
apartments and that today. So you guys will all have similar experiences. And I've seen some of the other kids from your class on the various social media, you know, trying to get ready for college, trying to get things lined up that they need. It's a pretty exciting time, I think, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, scary and fun and exciting, all wrapped into
everything
one.
Everything all at once.
That's pretty good. So, let's go back to your major a little bit. Is it a specific major, or is that kind of the direction you're going? I guess I'm stumbling over the question of does your major have a title? Is there something it's...
Yeah, so that is... that's the major itself, is agriculture communications.
Okay.
And then within that, my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I can take other elective classes and everything that kind of focus in on what I think I want to do. Like, if I think that I want to go into more of the lobbying side of... lobbying and public relations side of AgCom, then I'll be able to take, like, political science courses or... public relation courses or anything like that. But even within this major, there's the possibility to go into journalism, photography, digital media, even like a radio show or anything like that. So once
trying
I
to
get,
show me up again,
exactly.
I see how you are.
Once I get over there, I'm planning on joining some student organizations or getting a job for the within the agricultural college. So then I'll be able to just kind of narrow down what I actually enjoy learning about, and hopefully that'll translate into what I enjoy working with. I know that they have a good reputation for their internships, actually, for agriculture communication students. So I think that's going to help a lot to just kind of help me figure out what I think I want to do. Right now, I know I I enjoy working with people. I enjoy writing and stuff. So I have a thought in my mind that maybe I would want to go into like either public relations or journalism with it. But I mean, that's still 4 years away, so I'm sure it can change. But yeah, it's really broad. So there's a lot of career opportunities within it, which is something that I like about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can totally see you in media relations, working for, I don't know, Caterpillar or John Deere or somebody like that. And you got a bright future ahead of you.
Thank you.
You're going to do really well. And you know you've got your support back here in Little Rogue River. We're all here for you, and we're all pulling for you. So is there anything else we didn't get to that you wanted to get out there? I just wanted to kind of catch up with you as Amber Cripps and not you as FFA officer. You know, that's
been
in the past. And I'm just excited for you and for all of you, all the kids in your class. I mean, I know a handful of them, and they're all going in different directions. Mm-hmm. We got kids going to Oregon State, Purdue. We got kids going in the Army. In fact, I've been following, you know, one of the kids that's gone off into the Army. Just an exciting time for all of you.
And, yeah, it really is.
And so I just want to wish you the best and know that we're here for you. And definitely come back. We want
you to
come back on the show and maybe let us know how things are going and see if that major changes two or three times.
Yeah, it might. I'd be happy to.
And Hunter, did you have any other questions you wanted to ask Amber?
No.
Okay, right. So I think we got it covered. And so thanks again for coming on the show today. And so we're gonna take a break here. When we come back, we're gonna take a second attempt at our NBA segment. So stay tuned. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis says that North Korea's return of remains from the Korean War sets a positive tone for diplomacy on other issues such as the denuclearization negotiations and future efforts to send more teams into North Korea to locate additional remains are under consideration. The CBS board says it is investigating personal misconduct claims after reports that the company's chief executive, Les Moonves, is the subject of an upcoming New Yorker story detailing sexual misconduct allegations. The media company says it is investigating claims that violate the company's clear policies in that regard. Curiosity and all greeting a complete lunar eclipse, the longest one of this century, the blood moon, when it turns a deep red, has been visible at different times in Australia, Africa, Asia, Europe, and South America when the sun, earth, and moon line up perfectly, casting Earth's shadow on the moon. On Wall Street, the Dow closing down 76. SRN News.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The 19% loss in Facebook stock has chopped $119 billion off its market value. That made this the company's worst trading day since going public in 2012. This is also one of the biggest one-day losses of market value in U.S. stock market history. The loss came after Facebook revealed that its user base and revenue grew more slowly than expected in the second quarter, as it has been dealing with privacy issues. The California Supreme Court says Starbucks and other employers in the state must pay workers for minutes they spend off the clock on jobs such as locking up or setting the store alarm. A Starbucks employee filed a lawsuit arguing he was entitled to be paid for time he spent closing the store after he checked out. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 113 points with business. I'm Dennis Crowley.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. And we tried to do an NBA segment last week, and my big mouth went too long last week, and I only left a couple of minutes, so we didn't really get into it. So we brought the Rogue Talk mascot, of course, Cameron Smith, back. He hates when I call him that, but that's okay. He gets to put up with that for one more year at least. So, and of course, my intern, Hunter Arnsdorf. So welcome back to Rogue Talk, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for having me.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about the NBA. We chose this topic for our first discussion with Hunter because he's a big sports fan. In fact, Hunter, you got to go to a Giants and Mariners game this past week. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So tell us how that went.
That was really fun. It was just fun to go see them play in Seattle.
Yeah, and you're a Giants fan, right?
Yeah.
Originally from the Bay Area. You were actually born in the same town I was, Santa Rosa, California. So, but I'm an A's fan, so we're probably gonna fight about that throughout the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
Because my A's are trying hard to get into the playoffs, and I don't know how the Giants are doing, but it's gonna be a fight to the end, I think.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fight to the very end.
So let's get into... The reason we chose the NBA to talk about, of course, there's been a lot of guys changing teams, either getting traded and, you know, either that or signing with new teams. We know the world champion Golden State Warriors, they signed DeMarcus Cousins to their team. Cameron's a big Warriors fan. So, Cameron, what do you think Boogie Cousins is going to add to this Warriors team?
I think he's going to be a good addition to the Warriors. It's hard to tell what kind of player he'll be because off of one of the major injuries that a lot of players don't come back the way they were with the Achilles injury. You know, Kobe Bryant was never the same. A handful of other players were not the same. Wesley Matthews hasn't been the same. A lot of these players, they get that Achilles injury and... going from, you know, a superstar talent to maybe just an all-star or even just a decent player in the league. So we don't know what he'll turn out to be. Seeing some videos of him doing some shooting drills, getting back into the flow of it, he has been doing a lot better. It's still a long head.
Yeah, and I think as a post player, which he's primarily a post player, I think it'll be a little easier for him, you know, not being the Kobe Bryant type of player. I think maybe transitioning out of this injury might be a little easier for a guy like him than it was for somebody like Kobe Bryant. But it's still, I mean, you're playing basketball at the highest level. An Achilles injury is a pretty scary, you know, one to come back from. Now, of course, the post hasn't been a huge part of the team for the Golden State Warriors, but they did lose JaVale McGee. He went off to the Lakers, and so they're going to need to fill his spot. And, of course, he's a little different player than Boogie is. You know, he's a little more athletic than Boogie, but he's not as strong in the low post as he is. But JaVale went off to the Lakers, and of course he's joining. Who's he going to join on the Lakers there, Hunter?
LeBron James.
LeBron James, that's right. So, what are your thoughts, Hunter, about the Lakers? How good do you think they're going to be? Are they going to make the playoffs this year? And how far do you think they can go?
I don't think. I mean, they'll probably make the playoffs, but they probably need to work on their.
They're gonna need some help for sure. They're gonna need more help, and JaVale McGee is probably not the kind of help. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not that key position. Cameron, has the Lakers, have they gotten anyone else that are gonna help LeBron try and take this team to the next level?
Not really. I mean, they've gotten a lot of like role players. They it's really just Cavaliers part two of, you know, this last team. You know, it's a bunch of young guys that, you know, never played with each, I mean, some have played with each other.
Yeah, I mean the biggest name is probably Ball. What's his?
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball. But really, probably the best young player they have is probably Kyle Kuzma.
Or Brandon Ingram.
You're right. So even though Ball gets all the attention, he's really not one of the key players at this point for the Lakers. So they're going to be counting on a couple of pretty young guys to help that team. And I think I agree with Hunter. I think they're a playoff team this year. I just don't know how far they're going to go, especially in the Western Conference. I mean, the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors are still going to be superior teams, I think, than the Lakers, unless they can magically, you know, sign some other players. Now, one player that would have been a big help to them that kind of wanted to go to L.A., didn't go to L.A., and that's Kawhi Leonard. Tell us about the Kawhi Leonard trade. We touched on it a little bit last week, but we're going to forget last week ever happened. What was the trade with Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard to Toronto for DeMar DeRozan. San Antonio was just looking to get rid of him. I mean, he wanted out. He was
basically a healthy scratch at the end of the season. I mean, he didn't want to play. They blamed it on his injury, but I think he was fine.
He didn't want to play. They didn't, I guess, handle his injury very well the way he wanted it to be handled. And so he had to go get a second
opinion. Yeah.
And he was not very happy, so he decided to leave. And but he wanted to go somewhere else, you know. But when you have no trade, when you don't have a no trade clause, you can't really, you don't have a say in where you go. And same with DeMar DeRozan, he didn't have much say to where he was going. He didn't even think he was going to leave. You know, Toronto was going to be his home, kind of like how Lillard says that Portland's going to be his home, kind of how Kobe Bryant took Lakers as his home. And that's just how it, like, those players wanted their careers to go, and he got traded, and I don't see him reuniting with Toronto again.
No, I think he was pretty hurt by the whole thing. I think he thought he was going to stay in Toronto for most of his career, and you can probably understand why that is. But, you know, there were some other players moved in that same deal. Danny Green was in that same deal, wasn't he? Went from the Spurs over to the Raptors. And Danny Green's a guy that I thought was going to be kind of a Klay Thompson type player, you know, and it really hasn't panned out. Do you think the pressure of playing for the Spurs is the reason for that, or do you think he's just not quite the player that, you know, him and Kawhi kind of came up at the same time, and Kawhi turned into really a superstar, and Danny Green has kind of fallen off. Where do you think he'll have maybe a chance for a revitalization of his career, or do you think that it's just going to be a lot of the same?
I think it's a lot of the same, because Danny Green, the difference between Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green is Kawhi Leonard, you know, he liked to put in work, and he was a hardworking basketball player. Danny Green, you know, didn't probably put in as much work as Kawhi Leonard did, and Kawhi Leonard's now a superstar. I think just the way they're built, they're just different players, and they just develop differently. People were saying back, you know, in 14, that Danny Green would be better than Klay Thompson, and that hasn't been the case.
No, definitely not. So we only got a few seconds left, but I wanted to get Hunter one more time. Now, Gortat's going from the Wizards to the Clippers. You think that's a pretty good upgrade for the Clippers to get Gortat?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ever since that team is kind of disbanded, you know, even Austin Rivers is gone now, they're going to need some help. And I, you know, Gortat's not a bad guy to kind of, you know, start in the middle of the floor. And, you know, hopefully he can help the Clippers rebuild a little bit. They've lost a lot of guys. Well, guys, I'm out of time, but thanks for joining me. And I enjoyed this NBA segment. It was a lot of fun. And so, everyone, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.